is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. You know, right now, while you're listening to this program, Boris and Natasha are deep within the Kremlin, planning and plotting. And what they're talking about is whether or not to cut off Russian adoptions to parents in the United States of America, Canada, and Germany. And one of the reasons they're thinking about this is because there have been incidents of abuse, even some deaths of formerly Russian children in the United States of America from their adoptive parents. And so there is a movement within Russia to just not allow any more adoptions. Now, I have to tell you, I can understand a little bit of the animosity that Russians have toward Americans adopting children. After all, imagine if the United States of America had collapsed after the Cold War and we were just a bunch of hodgepodge states in poverty, having USSR citizens adopting children from orphanages from the United States of America. There's that kind of lingering hostility, that kind of nativism. At the same time, I want to tell you, as someone who has adopted two children from Russia and someone who has been in these orphanages, and I have seen them jam-packed with children who have never been outside, many of them children who have never been outside of their cribs, and children who will not have families and will not have parents if it is not for those coming in from overseas to adopt them. And it's a heartbreaking situation, but I want to talk about an even bigger picture today. When you have this discussion of adoption going on in the former USSR, you also have the discussion going on right now in the United States of America in terms of, for instance, last week's Advocate magazine has a cover story about gay parents adopting children and the entire question of whether or not homosexual couples ought to be legally allowed to adopt children. You have right now the discussion going on about Judge Roberts and the fact that he has two adopted children, and some on the radical pro-abortion rights wing are saying the fact that the Roberts have adopted two children is an indicator that he is pro-life and anti-Roe. Well, there's a lot of people talking about adoption today. I want to know, what can we do as the Church of Jesus Christ to encourage adoption? I want to know, what can we do in your local churches and in your local communities to actually encourage and equip parents and families to adopt children in the United States of America, to adopt children overseas? I think that this is not just a compassion issue. I think this is a missiological issue. I think there is an opportunity right now for Christian parents to raise and to rear in the nurture and admonition of the Lord an entire world of children who are suffering without parents. Let me know what you think we can do to encourage parents and to equip them to become parents, to become families through adoption. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. With me in the studio is my friend Randy Stinson, who is the executive director of the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, and he is also a newly appointed professor of gender and family studies at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And the Stinsons have something in common with the Moores in that we have both adopted children from overseas. Our children were from Russia, and the Stinsons' children were from where?
From Taiwan.
From Taiwan, that's right. And you've had them not very long now, about a year, less than a year.
Less than a year. We brought them home in November.
Well, now, Randy, you already had three children before you adopted Eden and Peyton.
That's correct.
And so I imagine that the question you were most often given is, why are you doing this?
That's right. When we would tell people we were in the process of adopting, the biggest question, the most puzzling question I received was, don't you already have children? As if adoption is only some sort of heartwarming solution for couples who are infertile. Uh-huh. And that was not the case for us.
Yeah, I mean, adoption is not just something for infertile couples, but I want to tell you it is something that is present for infertile couples. And I want to tell you one of the frustrations that I have in counseling people. My wife and I went through 10 years of infertility, almost 10 years of infertility, and we, before we adopted our sons. And one of the questions that we so often get from infertile couples is they're going through this round of very, very expensive and very, very radical reproductive technology. And often what I say to them is, this is a matter of stewardship. I can't make your decisions for you, but I think that it would be better pleasing to the Lord to use the money that you could use for some of these very advanced treatments and use this to adopt children who are already there. I talked to one couple about this, and the couple said to me, well, I really think we want our own children. And my response to that is to say, these are your own children. And I know, Randy, you probably have the exact same experience. I have two children that we adopted, one child that we just gave birth to, or that my wife just gave birth to. There is no distinction in my mind.
That's exactly right.
None at all.
Mine either. And the question still persists, though. People ask, refer to the biological children as my children,
yeah,
and the other two as just something else.
Yeah, my wife called me crying last week. She had an elderly woman who came up to her and said, I know that Dr. Moore is just so proud of Samuel, the child that we just had. And Maria had all three of our boys with her, and she said, he's very proud of all three of his boys. And this lady said, but I know he's especially proud of Samuel since he's his.
Mm.
And my response, she was so crushed by that. My response was, as a man, anger. All three of these boys are mine. And I've got the court documents to prove it. And someone said to me one time, how did you feel the first time that you saw your infant being born? I said, I felt the exact same way I did the first time I saw Benjamin and Timothy in a Russian orphanage, seeing my child for the first time. This is my third child. And so often people don't understand the fact that that really is the experience that families have when they open up their hearts and their homes to children.
That's right. I mean, there's the same amount of love for all of those children.
Well, I want to know what you think. How is it that we can encourage families and equip families in our churches to not just be pro-life, but to be actively pro-life in terms of adopting children? We have callers already that I want to start talking to. One is Melissa. Melissa, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Moore. My comment is that, my husband and I have struggled with fertility issues for a little over 5 years now.
Uh-huh.
And I've looked into adoption, and financially, we can't afford adoption. I mean, the fees can range up to $10,000 to adopt a child.
Right.
And some of us don't have $10,000 at our disposal. So until some of the fees are changed, we just struggle to come up with the money to afford the adoption.
Well, Melissa, that's an excellent point, and I have several thoughts on that. You are right. Adoption is very expensive. $10,000 is the fee that you mentioned. Sometimes it can be closer to $30,000, $40,000 to adopt a child or children. And I think there really are two factors at work here. One is there are many families who are going to have to trust the Lord to provide money to do this. And I'm not talking about going into debt and doing something reckless. I'm talking about instead deciding we're really going to seek the Lord's provision in this. And that's what my wife and I had to try to do. I was a doctoral student, had absolutely no money at the time that we began the process of adopting our children. And the Lord provided for us in some really unusual and surprising ways. We had a minister who came from another state and sat down with me and said, I know that you're thinking about adopting. He said, what I want you to do, I want to give you right now a check for $10,000. He said, and this is the only three provisions that I have for this money. You can never mention it to me again because I don't want you to owe me. You can never tell anyone who I am. You can tell people that the Lord provided for you, but you can never tell them who I am. And I want you to send me a picture of the children. The only three provisions. And the Lord provided for us in that way. And my first reaction was to say, no, I'm not going to take your money. And he said, I want to tell you, Russell, what you're doing here is prideful. And you need to repent of that pride. I am led to provide for you in this way, and I want you to receive this. And with his help, and then with some other friends who helped us in exactly the same way, we were able to afford to do this. Now, what I'm saying is we need churches that are willing to equip members within the congregations to adopt children, and that means sometimes older couples within the congregation who have the means, who have the income, helping to equip younger couples to adopt children. What do you think? What are some ways that the church can be proactive in adoption and in rescuing children from despair, from prostitution, from suicide, from death? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, creating an adoption culture among the adopted children of the Father God. How do we do it? 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Not really a man of means, but along came two, and they did have nothing but the genes. My two sons that we brought into our family through adoption completely changed my entire life, completely changed the way that I view even the New Testament and the way that the apostles speak to us about the fact that we are grafted in, we are adopted into the body of Christ through the Spirit of Jesus. I want to know, in your life, in your home, in your church, in your community, how can we equip parents, equip families to create a culture of adoption in our own churches? And I'm not saying that every Christian family needs to adopt, but I'm saying how can even those of you who cannot adopt children, how can you help to create the kind of culture, the kind of church that is pro-adoption and pro-life? I want you to give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We are talking today about adoption and the church, and with me is Randy Stinson, the Executive Director of the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, and Randy and I are co-authoring a book together called Adoption for Christians, in which we're trying to make the case that really a Great Commission mission field is open for the church right now, not just the church in the United States, but the church all over the world, that it, a church that has been blessed in so many ways to really evangelize children through rearing them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord by adopting them into our families. I can't tell you how heartbreaking it was when my wife and I were in Russia adopting our sons, and we were staying in a home with other families who were there to adopt. One of them was an agnostic couple, had really no religious background at all. Another was a very liberal teachers union activist who was a single mother adopting a little girl. And I'm sitting there saying to my wife, why isn't this place filled with evangelical Christians who have a burden for children? And I think one of the reasons is because we just don't think about it. We just don't realize that this is something that we should do. How can we make that clear in our own congregations and our own communities? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. Randy, how did you and your wife think through the process of whether or not to adopt children? I mean, since you had three beautiful children already, how did you begin to think this is something you might need to do?
Well, from day one in our marriage, we had always thought about adoption and realized several things. One, James admonishes us to take care of widows and orphans. Number two, my wife and I decided that if we were going to be pro-life and we were going to encourage women to go ahead and have babies instead of aborting them, that Christians should be in line, ready to adopt those babies that they're going to give birth to. And third, it's such a picture of the gospel. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm with you. I can't read the New Testament the same way I did before, and it was a motivating factor for us to display this picture of the gospel in this way with our family. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, anyone in Christ is adopted into the family of God, mm-hmm. and it. has revolutionized my own understanding of those things.
Yeah, when our families get together, it's the United Nations.
That's right.
We've got Russians and Chinese, everything else. Well, how about you? What can we do to create a culture of adoption in our own churches and communities? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Art on the line, who is calling from, of all places, Liberal, Kansas. Art, I didn't even know that there was a liberal place in Kansas.
I don't live in Liberal, Kansas. I'm a truck driver. I'm here. I live in Denver.
Oh, you're just driving through. Okay. All right. Now, what's your thought today?
Well, you know, I think one thing that can be done is it can be addressed from the pulpits and churches. And I think another thing that's even a bigger factor, you know, is visiting an orphanage. I think it'd be good for everybody to visit an orphanage. But I had one of the main reasons I called was I had something happen to me just about 2 weeks ago that was a very moving experience. I was in Russia for my sixth missionary trip there, and I just got back on the 16th. And we did evangelistic services in three orphanages while we were over there. And one of the orphanages we were in, they were all 3 to 6 year old kids. And one of the little girls came up and grabbed one of our team members gently by the arm and pulled on her and said, "Mommy, can we go home now?" And that just tore me up hearing that. And we see that all the time when we go into these orphanages, because we usually go and visit several of them every year when we go over there. And I think another thing, too, that can be done is, you know, some type of parenting seminars for people who even have a mild interest in it. But I think the biggest factor is just visiting some of these orphanages and seeing the kids, because the conditions in this particular orphanage that where we had this one experience in was such that, and you're probably well familiar with this, having been in an orphanage in Russia, the conditions were really bad. There was just an odor in there.
Oh, yeah.
The looks on the kids' faces would tear you up. I did a PowerPoint presentation at my church this past Sunday on my Russian trip, and when we showed the pictures of the kids, a number of people came up to me and mentioned afterwards how moving that was just to see those pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly right. Art, you're exactly right. Even going into these orphanages and seeing the conditions there and seeing children created in the image of God who are suffering in this way. I remember there was a little girl whose room was right next door to the room where my sons were when we went to get them, and she would just kind of walk by and stick her head in, and I'll never forget her face. And I remember saying to my wife, if only we could take her also. We couldn't. They wouldn't let us. But I'll never forget her face. It will always be there. And I think that if Christians were to see these kinds of situations, you're exactly right, that would go a long way to spur an adoption culture. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do we equip and encourage parents and families to be pro-adoption and pro-life? We have Laurie on the line. Laurie, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Great. One thing I wanted to echo what the previous caller said, I don't think that a lot of people in our congregations really realize the plight of children in third world countries. I think I don't think they have any knowledge of just how desperate the situations are in orphanages around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if that can be brought to their attention, a lot of people will realize that we are the only hope that these children have to not only have a family, but to be exposed to Christianity. They're living in pagan cultures, and they're just not going to have that experience unless we give it to them.
Well, you're exactly right, Laurie. Not only pagan cultures, but sometimes even in cultures that are Christianized, in these orphanages, you simply have people who are not trying to be mean to these children. They have very limited resources. They don't have enough people to care for these children. And so you have children just really being warehoused, and that's really all that is done. There is no influence of Christianity, of the gospel, or really of anything else. Randy, wouldn't you say that as you were in Taiwan, I mean, it's not as though you had a vibrant religious culture of any kind going on?
Yeah, that's right. They're ancestor worship and all sorts of things.
What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How can we, in our churches, in our communities, equip families to adopt? And one of the things that I want you to think about is the fact that so often in our churches, there is even a little bit of a bias against adoption. How can we solve that? How can we correct that? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. creating an adoption culture among evangelical Christians. What should we do and how should we do it? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and today we're talking about adoption. How can we create churches and communities that spur families and spur communities toward adopting children and rescuing children from fatherlessness? When the Bible gives us a mandate that we are to take care of orphans and widows, we are to be fathers to the fatherless, how do we do that without simply relying on the state and without simply saying we need to outlaw abortion, which we do? We also need to, in our churches, welcome into our own families children who have been abandoned. How do we encourage that? How do we equip families to do this? Not just financially, but culturally. And in terms of motivation, give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-8255. And I have with me in the studio Randy Stinson, Executive Director of the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, who, like me, has adopted two children. And Randy, when you talk to people about adoption, when you're trying to encourage them, what kind of responses do you get?
Well, one of the saddest responses that I get regularly all over the country is I have women, wives coming up to me saying, I really want to adopt, but my husband just won't listen. My husband just won't do it. And I'd like to just issue a challenge to Christian men out there to see this as a sense of your duty to lead, provide, protect, and to extend it on out to these children who are all over the world that need a father.
Mm-hmm.
We're encouraging men to do that, to step up to the plate. You may not get the new car next year. My wife and I made a decision that we would either upgrade our house or adopt two children, and we chose the children.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord has continued to make provisions for us, but I'd like to see men just stepping up to the plate, and I'd like it to be the opposite. I'd like to have women coming up to me saying, my husband wants to adopt two more, and I don't know where we're going to put them all.
Isn't that pitiful? You're exactly right. I have that experience, too, is that you have often wives who are tenderhearted and are really grieving for children and really think we have enough love in our home to create a place for more children. And you've got a guy who says, oh, you know, we just can't afford that. And the people that I deal with aren't people who are worrying about where the grocery bills, how the grocery bills
That's
are going
right.
to be paid. It's guys who are saying, you know, I really think we need a second car, or we need a DVD player, or we need an iPod.
Or
we need
a country club membership.
Oh, well, yeah. This is something, and really, it's not as though you are doing an act of charity.
That's right.
I would spend $1 billion if I could get a hold of it for the experience of going in on one night and kissing my kids goodnight.
That's
and
right.
hearing the words daddy from
yeah.
them. I mean, it's really not a charity case at all. What do you think? How do we create and encourage a culture of adoption? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Randy Stinson and I are issuing a challenge to Christian men, which is, men, there are some of you who have the financial resources, maybe even right there in your bank accounts, or certainly the beginnings of it. And what kind of a revolution could we start in evangelical Christianity? We had a group of men who went home to their wives and said, honey, guess what? I'm praying about the fact that we need to become parents again, and we need to become parents to children who have no parents right now. What about you? Yeah, you. Driving in the car. Maybe you. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. And we have Kelly on the line calling from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on WHKW. Kelly, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hello.
Hi, what's your thought today?
Well, I just wanted to propose a question. My husband and I have three children and have looked into international adoption.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't help but get just a funny feeling in my stomach that these countries were profiting from these children and
mm-hmm.
And almost making it a business where mm-hmm. I felt like I was buying a child. And, you know, I know that it's that they need to build orphanages and there's a lot to taking care of children. And but I just wanted to hear what your thoughts were on that.
Well, Kelly, that's a great question. And I think the way that you look into that is get in touch with a good, reputable adoption agency and find out these countries that are reputable countries in terms of adoption. You're going to have some places that are going to have some shady dealings going on, but not when you're dealing through a mainstream reputable adoption agency that understands the lay of the land. Nobody profited off the adoption of our children. The money that we went was mostly for lawyers' fees in the United States of America. How is it that we can create a culture of adoption? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mueller. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
For the worst. And he said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. He said, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and today we are talking about adoption in the evangelical church. How can we create and sustain a culture of adoption in our churches? I want you to join the conversation. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Simon on the line calling from El Paso, Texas. Simon, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program. Simon, are you there? Oh, Simon is gone, and I'll tell you, let me just tell you, just the little snippet that I have from Simon on my screen tells me that I would like this guy. And so I'm just really regretting that he didn't call. This is what Simon said. We spend tons of money on, quote, toys, end quote, but men need to put money into the family and step up to the plate. I think Simon's our kind of guy, Mr. Stinson. You know, I think that's exactly right. You have so many people who are spending on their children in such elaborate and exorbitant ways, and yet we have people saying we can't afford either to adopt or to help other couples to adopt or to even just to help within our church to sustain this kind of a culture of adoption. I think we see it all the time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And he's right. Men need to step up to the plate.
Yeah.
Let's get going.
Yeah. Oren, who is calling from right here in Louisville, Kentucky. Oren, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thank you, Dr. Moore. One thing that the Lord has really worked in my heart and my wife and I's heart in this issue is just understanding redemption throughout Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that maybe one root of the problem would be that pastors and teachers and churches aren't doing just a lack of biblical teaching and preaching in the pulpit. So we don't understand rightly the theme of redemption and particularly adoption throughout Scripture.
You are exactly right, Oren. I'll tell you, but before I really started to delve into the entire issue of adoption, I think I had always just heard adoption preached as, well, you're not Jews, and so that means that you're Gentiles, and that means that God just kind of adopted you in, and you're kind of the second-class children in the kingdom of God. And yet when you come to the text about adoption, exactly what the apostles are saying, it's precisely the opposite of that. What he's saying is there is no distinction because you are adopted. You are now crying out through the Spirit of Christ, Abba, Father. Therefore, there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. And one of the questions that my wife and I got over and over again, and we still get it, and it I pull my hair out every time, is about our two sons, well, are they brothers? And our response is always, well, they are now. And the response is then, yeah, but are they really brothers? Well, yes, now they are really brothers. Well, yeah, but you know what I mean. And what they mean is, do they share the same genetic material? Do they share the same DNA? And the more that I kind of pondered that question, the more I realized as I'm reading through Ephesians and Galatians and Romans, that that's exactly the question that the Apostle Paul is dealing with. You've got Jewish members of the Christian community in the first century saying to Gentile members of the Christian community, have you been circumcised? Well, yeah, I've been circumcised in Christ. Well, yeah, but have you been really circumcised? Yeah, I'm really circumcised in Christ. Yeah, but you know what I mean. And what the Apostle Paul is trying to do is to say God has adopted Jew and Gentile, taken you out of, the scripture even uses this picture, this wonderful picture of God finding Israel on the side of the road, wallowing in her own blood and bringing her into his family. That is a beautiful picture of redemption. And Orrin, I think you're exactly right. If we had more preaching about the nature of the gospel, that would lend itself to us emulating the gospel in our own homes. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Patty on the line. Patty, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello.
Hi, what's your thought today?
Well, I just wanted to tell you that my daughter, who's 43, has adopted four children, but she got all of her children from foster care.
Mm-hmm.
And because she was a foster mom, and then she became foster parents, and then adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And two of the little children are African-American, and the other two are twins that are 21 months old. So she has four children under seven.
Mm-hmm.
And she already had a family of three teenagers, 18, 20, and 21.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I just think adoption through the foster care program, if anybody's interested, that is a great way to go.
Well, Patty, thanks for that comment. I'll tell you, Randy, one of the things that was on my mind as Marie and I were planning the adoption process, I would have loved to have adopted from right around in the community, but I'll tell you, we have got to change our adoption laws in the United States of America. Adopting a child in the United States of America is increasingly difficult, not only because you have states that will allow birth mothers to change their minds, sometimes up to a year into the process, but also because often you have to go through a foster care process in which you're kind of in limbo. You're not really allowed to discipline the child in certain ways. You're not really the child's parent. You're just kind of there until the court's making up its decision. It's really a gut-wrenching process for a lot of people. I admire the people who are able to work through that process. But don't you think that really we need to not just make abortion illegal, we need to make adoption actually accessible in the United States of America?
Yeah, absolutely. The legal system has convoluted a lot of the process, and that was one of our concerns as well. But in addition to that, there is still a giant need. A lot of other countries still do not adopt at the same rate United States citizens adopt their own children.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's still a great need internationally because a lot of these countries just don't adopt their own children.
Yeah, well, that was certainly the case. I know it was the case in Russia. You just did not have a culture of adoption, and these children, if someone wasn't going to come in from overseas, they weren't going to be adopted. They simply were not going to be welcomed into anyone's home. How can we create in our own communities, in our own churches, a culture of adoption? I've got a couple of ideas. I've got a couple of things that I think we need to do, that we need to start with. But I think there's a big program that needs to be underway. And I think some of us need to be thinking in big ways about reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ by becoming parents. And I'm going to throw some of those ideas out when we come back in just a minute. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Stanley Wilson says that 60 years ago he knew that Miss Emma Tucker was the one. Now five generations get together every June, because two people fell in love.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking about adoption today. We have RV on the line, who is calling from Tampa, Florida on WTBN RV. What's your thought today?
Yes, this is a great program. I've adopted two children myself. I have a 20-year-old and a 22-year-old that I adopted when they was 3 days old and 20 days old. And then 3 months ago, I adopted two nieces and a nephew out of the foster care. I'm raising five kids, and I think we need to get some men to step up to the plate, get the churches to talk about it, and most of all, get the African-American community involved as well.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And, RV, I'm glad you said that, because so often people think that adoption is something that white people do. And really what we need are churches of all racial backgrounds involved in adoption, and you're exactly right about that. RV says he's written a book called Step Up to the Plate, Dad, and I haven't read that book. I'll read it, but I want to tell you that's exactly the message that we need to send. Step up to the plate and rescue children from the situation that many of them are in. And, you know, think about this issue of adoption. A few days ago, my four-year-old Benjamin and his brother Timothy walked in the room. Benjamin came up, hugged my leg, and said in his little southern accent that this little Russian boy picked up from us, just out of the blue, "I'm glad you're my daddy, and I'm glad I'm your son." And I couldn't even say anything for a few minutes. I just turned around and looked at these two boys and thought, this was a guy named Sergey and a guy named Maxime, who are now Benjamin and Timothy Moore, and who now can look into my face and say, "Daddy." And to think about the fact that even beyond that, you have those who were lost in rebellion, those who were far away from the Father's house. The Scripture tells us we're able to look into the face of a loving Father through their elder brother, Jesus Christ, and say, "Abba, Daddy, Papa." Scripture says that is adoption. Scripture says that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I think we need our parents who are adopting, pastors who are preaching about it, pastors who are encouraging church members to contribute. And I think we also need, on the mission field, orphanages that actually are bringing over Christians from all different countries to adopt these children and to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's a big program, and we need to, well, step up to the plate. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.